So this morning, actually, from what Howard spoke about, was an excellent segue. He talks about as little children, and what he was really talking about, at least in my perspective, is the humility of a little child and the willingness and the yielding of a little child. Now, as they get older, that's a different story. But how many know that ultimately it is the desire of our Heavenly Father to get us to a place of maturity, a place of stability, and a place where we are dependent on Him, not in terms of give me, give me, give me, but in terms of He is our source. We are at a place where we understand we are confident in our walk, and we can walk this journey with boldness. That's where God wants us to be. So this morning, the message title, I call it Practices That Yield Returns. Practices That Yield Returns. And I was reminded this morning of a story about, if anybody follows the NBA, they remember Allen Iverson. And one of the, you may already know where I'm going with this, but back in 2002, after the 76ers, they got eliminated from the, actually during the first round, they get eliminated during the NBA playoffs. And Allen Iverson was in a sort of a, with the reporters and, you know, a press conference. And, you know, the reporters started asking him about issues that he was having with the coach and, you know, some rumors that were going on. And one reporter started asking him about practice, to which Allen Iverson said over 20 times in less than 2 minutes the word practice. And, you know, it goes on to say, practice? Practice, man. What are we talking about here? Practice? Okay, I just played the real game, but what are we talking about? We're talking about practice here, man. Practice? And ultimately, Allen Iverson said, how is my practice going to make my teammates better? What Allen Iverson did not realize is, as a leader, the commitment, the work, the intensity, the discipline, the practice is what yields the return and ultimately could have got him to that championship. But he did not get it as a leader. So practices that yield return. So in our Christian, now what I want to examine is Psalms chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1 has meaning to me in that when I was a little child, I think I told a story. My wife said I tell too much stories and I'd be long-winded, so I won't tell that story again. Well, I won't tell it because I got another story. So, but it means a lot to me. And as I grew up, and as I got to a place in my Christian walk when building a little bit of confidence in God and asking God, where does He want me to be? This passage or this particular chapter has served as something that acts as a sort of a tool check for me. So when I look at it, I look at, am I really measuring? What in there it talks about bearing fruit. It talks about a tree planted by the rivers of water. It talks about certain actions that we take or certain choices that we make to get to a certain place. And it serves to me to calibrate me and refocus my attention on what really matters. So my goal this morning, the goal this morning is to encourage you also to engage in those practices that will yield returns. Amen? Amen. So I want us to consider this passage in light of our ultimate mandate. The title, and again, that's where I came up with the title, Practices That Yield Returns, because I believe that in the economy of God, the measure of our effectiveness as ambassadors directly correlates to our ability to produce fruit. Again, I'll say that the measure of our effectiveness as ambassadors of Christ, agents operating in His kingdom, is directly correlates to our ability to produce fruit. And fruit really means the good that results from the life of the believer. So if you look at it as the good that results from the life of the believer. John 15, you don't have to turn to it, but John 15, verse 7 to 8. Jesus was talking to the disciples, and what He was reminding them of, He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, You will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. What Jesus was saying is, they will know you're my disciples by the fruit that you produce, right? So one definition here, so when we look at a return, so in terms of in financial terms, if you engage in financial markets, you always hear the term return. Everybody wants a return on their investment, don't they? That's right. That's right. Everybody wants a return on their investment. Now, God is, at least my understanding is God is unique in such a way that he just gives us something. He does things for us, and he watches us. He encourages us, and really his ultimate desire is that we do bear and produce that fruit, but he's not hammering us over the head with it. Now, in the financial terms, that's not, you know, if you go to your broker and you give them a certain amount of money and you expect them to invest it in a certain way and you do not get a return, guess what? You're not dealing with them very long, right? So, but in the economy of God, God has ways to encourage us and to build us up to ultimately be where we need to be, and that's a place of stability in him. So how did this message came about? So this is the second story. Now, this message came about, it was right around, I was off 2 weeks ago. I had some issues with a car. This is a car that I've had for quite a number of years, or we've had for quite a number of years. It was my wife's then girlfriend's car when we were in college. And, of course, I drive it now because she drives the better car and she got the kids. But that's okay. So, but this car, we've had it for 12 years. This has over 240,000 miles on it. It's my work car. And it, really, the car in has served as a workhorse. So throughout the years, it's been consistent. It's been reliable. We've obviously invested in it to keep it going and to keep it running. And so I needed some brakes, some brake pads changed out. So I told my wife, you know what, I'm not spending that money. I'm going to do it myself. So I got it in the garage, started jacking it up, and then I looked underneath, and I said, and of course, it was cold outside. So the first thing I said is, thank God for mechanics. So I backed out, called a mechanic, took it to the shop, and when I got there, we started engaging in some conversation. I engaged in a conversation with the manager of the store, and what he was saying is he was talking about the car. I, you know, in our conversation, revealed to him that, you know what, ultimately I want this done because I'm not putting any more money in the car. To which he said, and of course he's a mechanic, so I'm starting to think that maybe he wants some more of my money, but what he said was, well, you know, how much you put into that car determines how long it's going to serve you. What you put into the maintenance that you put into that car. And he said, you know what, you do a little maintenance now, and guess what, that goes a long way. So, you know, because I walked in convinced that after a couple of years, I'm going to get rid of this car, and guess what, I'm going to get something else. He said, well, if you get that other car, you have no guarantees that it's not going to break down and you won't have the same headache. So leaving from there got me thinking. It has me thinking about the longevity about our Christian walk. I don't know how that all got established, but I'm driving home. I'm thinking about the mechanic, and I started thinking about longevity, and then I'm thinking about Psalms chapter 1. So go figure it out. Now, so I started thinking that longevity and our ability to walk this walk for a long time requires us to practice certain habits and disciplines. If you would consider a time when you ever embarked on a new endeavor or a new frontier, if you, for example, I think the most common one is starting a job for the first time, and you recall that first day at work and all that you have to learn, all that you have to do, the connections that you have to establish in order to be effective at your job. Because when you enter the work environment, sometimes the people that you know that can get things done is how you are effective as well. So you think about that, and sometimes it can be overwhelming. It could be, especially that first day, you don't know how you're going to make it. But if we fast forward a couple years at that job, we start to realize that you are confident in your position. You own responsibility. You are able to give others direction. You may be even considered the go-to person. Well, what we do not see is maybe the long hours that it take, maybe the commitment to take on extra assignments, the sacrifice that it takes to learn the job in a particular way and get good at it. Those are things that I call the practices, right? And as we will see in Psalms chapter 1, if you're there, say amen. Amen. So Psalms chapter 1, I'll just read the passage. And Psalms chapter 1 says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the paths of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaves also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." I'm sorry, I'm reading from the New King James Version, by the way. "The ungodly are not so, but are like a shaft which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Amen? So again, my goal this morning is to encourage us to live effectively for God and bring glory to his name. And some of the barriers to our effectiveness as God's people can directly be linked to our choices and our actions. And this is what I call the practice. As we will see, our choices and our actions are the practice. Now, the definition of practice, just so that we have a working knowledge of what practice is. So practice refers to doing something again and again in order to become better at it. To do something regularly or constantly as an ordinary part of your life. So eventually what that tells me is that our practices becomes our habits. Our practices becomes our lifestyle. Our practices become something that is sometimes automatic. And the goal is to engage in practices, especially in our Christian walk, that ultimately benefits us and produces fruit in God's kingdom. So practice number one is our choice. So let's examine verse 1 says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the paths of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful." So walking represents movement and may be equated to our behavior. In some sense, we can say that our behavior is a result of our thoughts, right? So constantly we are being bombarded with the choices to make that ultimately shape the way we think and the way we behave, and consequently the way we behave. We're constantly bombarded by the media. We're constantly bombarded by society to think a certain way. So the practice here is to engage in thinking and behavior that ultimately produces a better end as men and women of God. Stand-in speaks of how we serve and is a picture of establishment or certain patterns. So when we stand, so imagine that we're walking. Once we decide to stand, we establish a stance and we start to take root, right? So sitting means to dwell or to remain. And as it relates to our topic this morning, we observe that the product of our behavior and the stance we decide to take becomes the way that we operate. So eventually we go from it's a progression from walking, we stand, and guess what? We start to operate in that manner, be it worldly or in the kingdom, right? So here it talks about the ungodly, it talks about the sinner, it talks about the scornful, but it also relates, so that's the world economy and that's the world system. But also in God's economy, there are practices, okay? We can walk, right, in submission to God. We can align our thoughts to honor God. We can stand. We can establish firm roots and practices and say that we will worship God. We will stand for God. And ultimately, we could dwell in that place where we operate with confidence in God. So when we look at this, what was interesting to me about verse 1 and about the progression is that it's very subtle to fall into the negative side of things. It's very subtle to walk, and then all of a sudden you are standing, and all of a sudden that you are dwelling in that place. But the opposite is not very easy. To operate in God's economy requires deliberate practice. So you have to make a choice. So it's subtle to fall into a negative part of this, but in terms of being and operating for God, you have to actually, it demands, in order to be effective and productive, demands a deliberate choice, and it just does not happen overnight. Practice number two is our actions of what we do. And for this, we look at verse 2. It says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And to delight means to be pleased with or desire, in this case, the law of God, and it's a reference to the entire word of God. When we meditate on his word, it is a picture of, if you imagine a cow, I don't know if you ever seen a cow, I ain't calling nobody no cows, but if you imagine a cow actually chewing his food, what the picture is, the cow chews his food and regurgitates it and chews it again and does that over and over and over again. So that's the picture that we have here, to ponder, to study, to meditate. And it's a reminder that repetition matters, and we must focus our learning on we must focus our will and our learning to all that we can about God's word. And so what I get from this, so the practice is what I call the practice, so the repetition of our choices, the consistent choices that we make and our actions, what we get out of this is that once we stand, we will be blessed. So the verse talks about blessed is the man that does not do this in terms of the negative aspect. But blessed refers to a perpetual state of happiness. So it doesn't just mean money. It when it refers to happiness, it refers to, you could think of it as prosperity. You could think of it as being right. You could think of it as being level. So you are operating. You are not tossed to and fro. And the result of this is abundant fruit and is a mark of stability. How many of us want to be stable today? I certainly know that I want to be stable. Yeah. Stability is where we want to be. And the product of all that, so when we are stable, when we are confident, when we believe in God's ability to get us there, we look at verse 3, and it says, He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaves also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Whatever he does shall prosper. So the tree to me represents, imagine a tree by the rivers of water. The tree is constantly supplied with nourishment. The tree is constantly supplied with, and to me it represents a mature believer. They understand their purpose. They own and embrace their role in the kingdom and are ultimately operating in a state where they are dependent on God. They not only look to God as their source, but are grounded or deeply rooted in a place where they can receive nourishment from him. So the question becomes, how do we reach a place of reliance, consistency, and yielding fruit? So the return, right? Everybody wants a return on their investment. And I see a couple of things here that we need to do. We need to make the decision to not be passive. So again, going back to the practices, we must align our choices and actions in such a way that will produce fruit. So we need to take an active role in it. We need to desire to produce rather than to enjoy the fruit of others. Rather to enjoy the fruit that others have produced or have produced. Messed that up. Desire to produce rather than just enjoy the fruit others have produced or are producing. So that means take a stance, right? Take a stance. Develop habits. The other is to develop habits that leads to a place of confidence in God. So delighting in the word of God, meditating, studying, and pondering brings about this particular end. Let those that are producing fruit be your model. God has given us many models. And they are here as part of God's kingdom to help us get to that place. And finally, I have do the simple things over and over and over and over and over and over again. See, the simple practice of reading God's word The simple practice of reading God's word over and over again, meditating on God's law over and over again. It's amazing what that will produce in the life of the believer. So here are some encouraging thoughts. So when you look at this, so how do we become that tree that is planted by the rivers of water? I want to say this, and I was thinking about this morning, the picture of when you see a tree that's bearing fruit, the fruit is enjoyed by others, right? The fruit is enjoyed by others. So, and I believe that it is God's desire that we reach a place of maturity and stability. It is never his plan that we be tossed to and fro. And guess what? He gives us the Holy Spirit to help us to reach this place. Another encouraging thought is not seeing immediate fruit does not mean that the fruit is not coming. It talks about the fruit bearing fruit in its season, right? So do not be discouraged. The reference to a season, it reminds us to keep laboring until that time comes. And I already mentioned, but fruit is produced for others to enjoy and is designed to benefit others. So others are watching. Others are encouraging us. And the final reminder is we cannot fail because God can bring about, even out of circumstances that may seem to be defeating us, he can bring good out of it. Howard talked about Jeremiah, and in it God says, I know the plans that I have for you. There are plans for good, to prosper you and give you a sure hope. And the bottom line is God never reneges on his promises. And he will get us to that place of maturity if we engage in the practices for him. There is nothing like a picture of stability. There is nothing like waking up and understanding that you are confident in your role and that you have a source, you have a dependence on God, and you understand why you are doing what you are doing. So I encourage us this morning to continue to strive towards those practices and do those little things. Now our choices, what's interesting about our choices is that the God that we serve, as was mentioned in the first service, the God that we serve doesn't even look at that. He looks at our heart. And if we continue to engage and if we continue to seek and if we continue to desire, guess what? He honors that. So I encourage you this morning to be members of God's kingdom that continue to produce fruit and is a picture of stability. Thank you.